Well, we don't have a large license anymore. So
we
is too much.
I mean, we've never
called the.
We've never let that stop us.
No. May 17th meeting of Ways and Means to Order. Resolution 256, authorized issuance of the bond for 2.659. Do you have a motion?
I'll move 56. No, we'll probably just do one at a time then. 256 is fine. I'll move that.
Second.
I'll second it.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I could move them together.
Okay. 263, authorizing the issuance of an additional $450,000 bond.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. 267, authorizing design and planning in connection with the Turnwood Bridge. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. 271, authorizes purchase of kitchen and laundry equipment for the Law Enforcement Center. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Does anybody recall why we postponed this to this week?
It's a bond.
It's a bond.
Bond. Ah, gotcha. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. 282, authorizing the digitization and electronic conversion of the county clerk records. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
A second.
Discussion? All those in
I was on the rules but via phone, so I didn't get to ask any of the questions, but I don't know if anyone knows the answer. In terms of the hard copy, are we planning? We're planning on keeping it somewhere, right?
I believe so. I think it's a fail-safe.
Okay. All right. I just want to... And I'll return.
Also,
I mean, not
she talks about getting opening space on the first floor. So
that wasn't my understanding. My understanding was this was eliminating hard copies.
Yeah, that's
to free up space.
Well.
And this is there's actually
all of them.
Okay, so I just want to say I do want to reach out. I support the idea of digitizing, but I need to really wrap my head around the potential of getting rid of documents from 250 years ago or whatever she said. I mean, she talked about documents that were hundreds of years old, and the concept of like clearing out space and just throwing them in the garbage is a little bit
I don't think they
I don't think that's the kind that she's referring to. I think we're talking about more of
the
DBA is from the 1940s.
Yeah, she said that this was a couple hundred years of documents. So that's all. I do want to just be on the record as saying I want to be clear on what our plan is for archiving long term. It is not wise to take up valuable space here necessarily, but I would like to know what the plan is long term.
And maybe look at the cost of archiving, because it is a dollar cost to archive
for sure.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 286, establishing reporting standard work week, amended as presented before you.
I'll make the motion, but it's not as amended until tonight, I don't think, right?
You can amend it here and on the floor.
Okay. I've always been like, why bother? But I'll make an amendment as it sits right now, that we amend it as
second.
It sits.
Second that.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
288, requiring reporting of wages for employees and contractors.
Yes. I'll move it.
Second.
So I had asked last week just what we already require of them and whether this was something that we're asking for that we didn't ask for or something that we as a legislature want to see that we never saw.
So the answer that I got was that we require them to have certified payroll available if we request it, but we don't currently. In the current living wage law, purchasing requires them to have certified payroll upon request, but we do not typically request it with bids. So this would be different. This would change that.
So I'm not exactly saying that. I'm saying, so a contractor puts in a budget, you know, they respond to an RFP, they put in a budget. Are there not lines that say the different people who will do things and how much their salary would be? So not their whole workforce, but just if they don't provide in the budget, like the different people who will be hired.
And I don't think that this resolution requires that either. I think it just requires certified payroll.
They have to certify that they're paying prevailing wage, but they don't have to provide the certified payroll.
Right. I guess it's the contracting world, more like construction and everything.
I mean, I will say that I don't know if I heard this argument somewhere But like in small communities like this, where you're requiring basically a title and requiring pay to become public records, you know, you're going to identify people without intentionally identifying people. And I don't, that's up to you all whether you want to have a policy that says that, but I'm not sure that's wise.
Okay.
Chair Bartel?
So again, just to be clear, like this submission happens after, once we're contracted with the firm, and then we get a submission of the payroll for all the personnel as it relates to the contract for which we're contracting for, and it would allow for us to audit them. That was added to that, right? But you're saying you don't think this is a wise submission?
No, I'm not. I'm saying requiring that and making it public. I'm not sure. I think there's unintended consequences. I have not had purchasing do a full evaluation. What I'll say is, like, it is requiring a lot more of contractors than we currently require. And there may be unintended consequences of identifying somebody's salary in a small community where you can't really, somebody has a title, everybody's going to know what that title is, and they're, you know, that may not be an issue. Might be.
Well, I guess the question is, why haven't you had purchasing evaluated?
Ed was out sick and just did not have time in the between the last Ways and Means and for that.
Is there appetite to postpone it until Ed has a chance to review it? Not that this is a emergency. Just throwing that out there for the committee. I would be supportive of that.
I would as well.
So is the question that we don't know if it's in there? That we want them to report their salaries as far as job by job title and all that? Or, I mean, you know, if you're a contractor and you're putting in a bid for a certain number of people, we should know what we're paying those people, right? I mean,
we require them to have certified payroll that purchasing can request. Okay. My belief on what this is doing is saying that it now has to be submitted each time, and that it is then turned over to the legislature, which will make it a public document.
I feel like I'd like to hear from Ed on this before we move forward personally. I mean, why not hear from the purchasing director when you're amending the purchasing policy?
Point me to this section or something in here. Anybody know what it is?
Yeah, it's section 2A9, and it's on page 8 of the purchasing policy. I can read it too if you want. I mean, it basically says that the information will be submitted within 30 days to the clerk of the legislature.
Does it say that it will be made public, or just that it would?
Well, once something's submitted to the clerk of the legislature, I think it would be
foilable.
Foilable.
Right.
I would favor it being postponed and consideration given to perhaps having the supply only to companies above a certain size to avoid this inadvertent disclosure problem, or at least consideration of some mechanism for that. Maybe it would be better if it were submitted in such a way that it doesn't become foilable. I'm not sure there is such a mechanism, but perhaps the council could look into that.
I just to respond, I think the issue isn't the size of the company. It can be, but a company, even a huge company, based on job title, they may only have one or two positions, which would then narrow that down as well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, sponsors here. Speaking for myself, I'm less concerned about the size of the organization, because I think this is ultimately about, you know, building information for the county in terms of understanding what our contractors are paying and what the subcontractors are paying, which is something that's come before us as it relates to other resolutions. I also think that, you know, government salaries, you know, we've talked about this in terms of putting names on in the budget. You know, ultimately, you know, that's there are websites where I can find out where certain members at this what certain members at this table make in their jobs just by doing a search online through open government. It's paid through by the government, and this is kind of an extension of that. I do just want to know. I mean, I guess it might be relevant to hear what purchasing. I'm just surprised to hear that purchasing hasn't reviewed this. That's my main thing. Is less about exposing someone's salary through a sort of forensic analysis than it is about the fact that our purchasing office hasn't looked at this yet.
Yes, sir, Walter.
So I'm not necessarily speaking against it, but I would just say related to that I think you have to accept a different criteria sometimes if you're working for the government in terms of your salary being known and when you work for private. So I don't know if I feel like it's okay to just sort of pass that along in the same way. Not to say that I'm, you know, important elements of this, but yeah, I don't know if we can use the same analogy.
Legislator Erner?
Second, what Legislator Walter just said, and I think we could have a larger conversation about who gets to keep their salary hidden in general in our society and who, by nature, typically being poor, has to reveal it. So I favor more people sharing more about what they make. I think we have a more robust understanding of the total socioeconomic picture of our county, the more people who are talking about their jobs and their work and how they're doing.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point, but something just clicked in my mind that, like, what we just went through with COVID, and we had to, in an emergency situation, hire all of these small business people from the community, and we hired a lot of them, right? And they were sometimes were mom and pop, sometimes they were sole proprietorships, right? And so in that situation, I'm a little, you know, I can understand why we may not want to publish their salaries for their next door neighbors to see. I mean, you know, I would never tell anybody what I make at IBM, never. I just wouldn't do that, right? I think it's, you know, personal, right? You know, for one thing. And, you know, I don't know. I would like, you know, I just think you should have some more guidelines around it. You know what I mean? Something a little tighter, but, you know, maybe we could have it where you're classifying it by a job title or a letter or something or a task or something. Rather than, you know, you could say, well, you know, I'm a mason and I work for Joe's Mason Company. It's me and Joe, you know, right? But if you say something else, I don't know. I just am a little uncomfortable with that as well.
Yeah, I just, following on Legislator Erner's comment in seconding Legislator Walter, I think Legislator Walter, you were saying that actually when you work for the private sector, even if you're contracting with the government, that might be seen as a different, you have a different sense of the privacy associated with your salary than a government employee might.
That's pretty much what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I respect that, but I also feel like it's incumbent upon us as the government in terms of particularly, you know, I think this came about on some regard in trying to understand, you know, what our subcontractors are paying their employees, and in thinking about that as it relates to privatizing certain sectors of the government. You know, we've made decisions to do certain, and I say we, not meaning the people at this table, but we, the government, made decisions.
The royal we, to
outsource certain aspects of services. And sometimes the metric that comes along with that is a cost savings, and yet we do that in the absence of information as it relates to what potentially these contractors and subcontractors are paying their employees. And when we need to be, I think, thoughtful about the implications of those decisions, not just on the government's our bottom line, but on the people who are providing the services. So I do think that this is really valuable information, but I feel concerned that our purchasing department hasn't looked at it, and I feel because it's in the purchasing policy, and I want to understand if the clerk of the legislature is the right place for it to go, not strictly from a FOIL perspective, but just is it the right place for the clerk of the legislature to be getting hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents as it relates to salaries on every contract that we have, which is hundreds of contracts on an annual year. So those are my concerns.
At this point, I'll make my motion to postpone. It sounds like there's a lot more discussion that we should have here.
I'll second that motion.
All right, for a second. Discussion.
So this isn't necessarily on the postponement, but I'm fine speaking at that during, as though it is. The intent of what we're doing here, I don't think is, or what I think we should be doing, I don't think is to expose personally identifiable information. I think that my understanding, and I realize I missed the first part of the conversation, and kudos on going through the first part of the agenda so quickly, but I was able to miss the first part. I think if we are collecting the job titles and the salary, that I think would fulfill what we want to do. We don't want to know specifically this person or that person. I realize that when you ask for a certified payroll, what you're getting is this person and that person. And if you don't ask for a certified payroll, what you got before you asked for it isn't verifiable. So I realize that's kind of an enforcement question. And I think the concern around the size of the organization is a concern where if you only have one, senior nurse, and there's listed a senior nurse at this cost, then you know how much that senior nurse makes because the organization only has one, and that's the salary there. I'm not sure if the way to get around that is, I don't know how much it would weaken the intent of the legislation to make it only apply to organizations of a certain size. I wouldn't rule that out as a consideration. But I think I also wouldn't rule out the certified payroll, and I understand there's a conversation about who is provided the certified payroll and what would be released there. I think that's something that we could debate further. But ultimately, what we want is we want the types of roles that they're hiring, not the individual people and the salaries for those roles.
All right, before we go into more discussion on this, because there is a motion and a second to postpone it, if that's the way we're going to go, just really this discussion is just going to be rehashed against next month.
Well, my discussion is a question for Mark to bring
okay,
for the postponement.
Person.
So it does relate to postponement. So I'm just wondering if you could find out what, because certified payroll is this thing that exists that has names, if we can also understand what would it take to request, or what are we asking for that would actually give this non-identifiable information, and what kind of hurdle is that for organizations? Like,
you ask for it to be redacted.
I guess if it's that simple, but if it's like this you could just find out what would actually be entailed and what we, or maybe it's called something different than a certified payroll. Because it sounds like, I'll just say, it sounds more like it's budget lines of just sort of, this many people at this much per hour kind of thing, as opposed to the actual people's names.
Well, I think, I would support the postponement for all the reasons raised, but I think that, I just want to say it now so I don't forget, that I would also be interested, I think there's value in it being verifiable, we've asked for the ability to audit, and a certified payroll is certified, but I would want to know from purchasing or from whomever, from a council, whether or not we could receive the certified payroll and then redact the names immediately, just if that's allowable, because of the identifying nature.
Controller Gallagher?
I just want to mention to you guys that the IDA already requires payroll data for their projects, and you may want to collaborate with them just to find out what their experience has been. They collect something called New York State Form 45, which is a quarterly withholding document that shows wages. So you might want to find out what their experience has been.
Yeah, and my only point would be, right now we have a law that requires certified payroll to be available upon request. So if the comptroller needed it, if legislative staff needed it, I think it would be available. What that stops is us from taking possession of it and making it a foilable document. If we just want to see the information because we have a question, we have the ability to do that in law right now.
But my understanding of the intent of the resolution is not to see things because we have a question, but is to start compiling data on what people are getting paid. I mean, I could
just yeah, and we
it's
could
awfully intrusive on the public.
I mean, sure.
Go ahead.
We could amend it so that it's rather than requiring this process, it could require the, and this was another direction I was thinking of going, in the addition of a form that's very similar to a form. It might be the one that you're referring to, Comptroller Gallagher. In past work, have been part of teams that have had to provide such a form to the state. And it's that's kind of my vision for how this would work. That might be how we update the procurement manual. And then we can leave the certified payroll as it stands upon request.
Okay. All those in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Okay. Do you have anything?
Yes, I do. I want to mention to you that your new fund balance policy that you adopted last year spoke to a May 1st deadline that is speaking about what should happen with unassigned fund balance that's above the limit. And right now, with the closeout of the 21 books, we're at a very large percentage of operating expenditures, 26.33%. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of available fund balance that I think plans should be made for, and your resolution actually had a deadline for that. That has now passed. And, you know, I know this is the first year, so maybe we're just getting in a mode.
I don't think the deadlines are required.
But I also want to mention, and I had spoken to Chair Gavars about this earlier, that I really think we need to be thinking about A, investing our money, B, paying down debt that's high interest if bonds are callable, and not bonding for certain expenditures that are coming up. And I recognize these resolutions here today are just authority. It doesn't mean we're actually going out to bond, but I wanted to share all that with you right now. Thanks.
I have a piece of new business. It's time for us to talk about contract agencies for the budget. I would make a motion that we keep the contract agency amount the same as last year. And we can talk about it if we want.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. You want to make another motion?
To adjourn? I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Second. Fabiana, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.